Acts chapter 11. In chapter 10, we have seen that Peter explained the gospel to Gentiles in the home of a centurion named Cornelius, and then ate with him and with other Gentiles who had gathered in his home to hear what Peter had to say. As we move into chapter 11, in verses 1 through 18, we see that Peter was taken to task for entering a Gentile's home and eating with Gentiles, two things which under the law the Jewish people were forbidden to do. Word that the Gentiles had received the message of salvation preceded Peter back to Jerusalem. As a result, when Peter came to Jerusalem, some took issue with him for entering a Gentile's home and eating with Gentiles. So, Peter defended his actions by explaining the entire event to them. Peter recognized that the believers in Cornelius' home had experienced Christ baptizing them with the Holy Spirit exactly as he and others had experienced it on the day of Pentecost. And those six Jewish men who were present with Peter in Cornelius' home also recognized that God had granted repentance unto life, not only to themselves, but also to the Gentiles. In verses 1 through 3, we see that Peter was confronted in Jerusalem regarding his experience with Cornelius. Verse 1 indicates that word regarding the salvation of the Gentiles made its way back to Jerusalem before Peter's return. It says there, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." The apostles, of course, are the 11 apostles other than Peter, who was not yet back in Jerusalem from Joppa. In addition to the apostles, the brethren that were in Judea are mentioned. It is the brethren, the ones throughout Judea, the ones living in Judea. It is not just the believers who were living in Jerusalem. Apparently, the news regarding Peter taking the gospel to the Gentiles was not well received by some throughout Judea. The brethren that were in Judea heard that, suggests they learned that, or they received information in that. And what they heard or learned was that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. This means that the Gentiles had received the word of God in addition to the Jews having received the word of God. The Gentiles now likewise had received the word of God. Had received is understood in the sense of had accepted, and it has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. It means that they had accepted him in the past, and now they were still accepting him. They're in a state of having already accepted him. And what they received was the word of God, which may be understood as God's word, as God's teaching, or as God's message. It's the message of salvation, or the word, or the teaching, or the message from God. Both of these things are true. God, of course, is God the Father. And it appears that some were not rejoicing in the salvation of Gentiles. According to verses 2 and 3, some were taking issue with Peter's having entered a Gentile's home and his having eaten with the Gentiles. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem is when Peter ascended into or unto Jerusalem. And of course, As I've said on many occasions, the reason Peter needed to ascend into Jerusalem is because Jerusalem was a higher elevation than the territory surrounding it. They that were of the circumcision is the ones of circumcision, and suggest that they were Jews who were still observing the law. Remember that Acts is a transitional book, and not everybody got with the same program on the same day. The law was no longer in effect, but some were still observing it as if it were. They contended with him, meaning that they were disputing or were debating or were taking issue with him, meaning with Peter. The tense of contended indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. This wasn't a one-time statement they were making. They were going on and on and on and on and repeatedly going on about this issue with Peter. Well, verse 3 details the issue some were having with what Peter had done in Caesarea. You suppose they were, maybe that there were a lot of people talking about this. I suspect a whole bunch of people were talking about it throughout the whole territory of Judea, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." Saying indicates continuing or repeated action at the same time as the action of contended, meaning in past time. "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised," where "thou" is you singular and refers to Peter. It's literally, "you came to men having uncircumcision." Men is the term for adult males. Having uncircumcision means who were uncircumcised or who were Gentiles. "To men uncircumcised" has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, "to men having uncircumcision you entered in," or "to men who were uncircumcised you went in." They also said, or were saying, "and didst eat with them," simply ate with them. You ate with Gentiles. Something that should not have been done under the law, but the law was no longer in effect once Jesus had died on the cross, paid for our sins, and rose again from the dead. Verse 4 introduces Peter's explanation of his entire experience with Cornelius and with those he had met in Cornelius' home. And this explanation will continue through verse 16. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. Peter answered their objections, and he did so appropriately. You know, you may encounter some people that object to something you have done, even though what you did was not wrong. You need to be careful to answer them correctly and maybe even calmly, all right? Don't get your dander up as if they have done something they should not have done, when in fact they were just trying to be sure you were still right with God. Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. As translated, "but" introduces a statement in mild contrast to the statements being made by those who were of the circumcision. It might instead be continuing the conversation, but changing speakers from those contending with Peter to Peter's response. And if that's the case, it would be understood in the sense of "and" or "now." Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, suggests that Peter began and explained. Rehearsed and expounded is the translation of a single word in the Greek text and is understood in the sense of was explaining or was expounding. Its tense indicates ongoing action in past time. You know, sometimes you'll hear somebody that is making a statement that the King James has been translated word for word from the Textus Receptus Greek manuscripts, okay? Well, let me assure you, sometimes they use two different words or two words to take care of one in the Greek text, two in English for one in Greek. When you get over into 2 Timothy 3, you'll find they use five to explain one Greek word. There's not a one-to-one correlation, and anybody that says that's never opened a Greek textbook, all right? Just let me assure you of that. Rehearsed and expounded is one word in the Greek text, and it means explained or was expounding. As indicated by the italics, the matter and it have been supplied by the translators. Of course, they do this in order to help us understand something that is assumed in the Greek text, but is not necessarily clear in the English text. From the beginning is used in conjunction with the verb translated rehearsed and explained, indicating a fact in addition to rehearsed and explained, and its action occurred prior to or before the action of rehearsed and explained. It's understood in the sense of having begun or began. By order is simply in order, in sequence, one thing after another. Maybe we would understand it as point by point. So he went through the whole thing point by point with these people who were raising the objection, and he did so calmly and matter-of-factly. Unto them is simply to them, where them refers to those persons taking issue with Peter for his having gone to Cornelius' home and for his having eaten with the Gentiles who had gathered there. Saying is used in conjunction with rehearsed and explained. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of rehearsed and explained. As translated, it is used to complete the thought of rehearsed and explained. But it may be understood as showing how he rehearsed and explained things in the sense of by saying. Or it may indicate a fact in addition to rehearsed and explained in the sense of and he was saying. What Peter was saying begins in verse 5 and extends through verse 17. Now in verses 5 through 10, as part of Peter's explanation of what happened in the incident of his going to Cornelius' home and his meeting and eating with Gentiles, Peter rehearses his vision of a great sheet being let down from heaven by four corners. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, like let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. I, of course, is emphatic, and it's used in reference to Peter. Was praying describes what Peter was doing at the very time he saw the vision. In the city of Joppa tells where Peter was when he saw this vision. It was the specific city named Joppa where he was lodging in the home of Simon the tanner. And in a trance I saw a vision where I, as Peter is, and I saw in a trance a vision. A trance is a state of being in which consciousness is wholly or partially suspended. If you've ever been a pastor and preached, it looks like some people are often in a trance, okay? If you've been a teacher in a classroom, you're sure that some of those students, if not all of them, are in a trance when they're supposed to be listening to you. Consciousness is certainly suspended. At least consciousness about what's going on at that time is suspended. They might be conscious of things they're going to do after you get all finished with what you're doing. What Peter saw in a vision, which indicates that this was not a dream or a figment of his imagination. This vision is something he actually saw. In his vision, Peter saw a certain vessel descend. A certain vessel is literally some object or some thing. Certain is the word some. Descend, which is the same term translated descending in Acts 10:11, is used to describe vessel. It means descending or coming down, as it had been a great sheet, is as or like a large linen cloth. Let down from heaven indicates the source of this large linen cloth. Now, if it's let down from heaven, it would suggest that God is its source. Let down is used to describe sheet. Its tense describes an action that is ongoing and understood in the sense of being let down or being lowered, as Peter was observing it. Now, how long did he observe it while it was descending? We have no idea, but it wasn't instantaneous. From heaven is out of heaven. Remember, the place where God dwells. By four corners indicates the means by which it was being lowered out of heaven. And it came to me, where it refers to this large linen cloth, and me refers to Peter, is, and it came as far as me, or it came where I was. Well, this was obviously intended for Peter, and it came to him directly from heaven. Verse 6 indicates what the great sheet in his vision contained. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? Upon the which, where which refers to the large linen cloth is in which or on which. When I had fastened mine eyes, where I refers to Peter, is used in conjunction with considered, indicating time. Its action occurred at the same time as the action of considered. When I had fastened mine eyes suggests when I fixed my eyes on, or when I looked straight at, when I looked intently at, or when I stared at. I considered. I was considering. I was contemplating. I was looking at in a reflexive manner. What's the idea of this thing? You can imagine him thinking. And saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. It's literally, and I saw the four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild animals, and the reptiles, and the birds of the heaven. The word the appears before four-footed beasts, also before wild beasts, also before creeping things, and also before birds in the Greek text, in order to indicate the class or the group of each animal or bird in these four categories. Verse 7 indicates what a voice said to Peter in conjunction with the animals contained in the sheet in his vision. It says, "And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. And I heard a voice saying unto me," where I and me refer to Peter, indicates that someone told Peter what to do. The voice said, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Arise is used as an imperative or command whose action was to be undertaken at once and without delay. And it's understood in the sense of get up, get ready, stand up. Kind of like when it's time for somebody to go to school. Get up. You know how that goes? Hard to get them up from school. I don't know how that works with homeschooling because I was never involved in that. But I'm sure that my boys didn't want to get to school any earlier than they absolutely had to. Its tense indicates that its action would precede the action of slay and of eat. Slay, slaughter or kill, and eat are both imperatives whose tense indicates that their actions are likewise to be undertaken at once and without delay. What Peter was commanded to slay or to slaughter, he was also commanded to eat. It's also implied that what he was commanded to slay or to slaughter and to eat were those animals found within the large sheet. Peter's response in verse 8 implies that at least some, if not all, of these animals were unclean, something a Jew could not do. Verse 8 rehearses Peter's reluctance to eat anything which was polluted or ceremonially unclean. But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." His use of the term Lord suggests that it is Jesus that was telling him to rise, slay, and eat. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the commandment in verse 7 for Peter to rise, to slay, and eat. "I said" refers to Peter. And what Peter said is, "Not so, Lord. No, for nothing unclean or uncommon or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." "Not so, Lord" is by no means, Lord. "Certainly not, Lord," or "No, Lord." Peter addresses the one speaking to him in this trance as Lord, which suggests that he was speaking to Jesus. In other words, Jesus told him what to do. "For" is a word ordinarily translated "because," and should be understood in this sense here. "Nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth," indicates that until this time in his life, Peter had never eaten anything which was ceremonially unclean. Nothing common or unclean is anything that is ceremonially impure or from an unclean animal. Well, as children living when I was a child, it was not at all uncommon for children to eat dirt. Okay? And so he might have had some of that when he was younger too. You that grew up in the city with all these pure things that you have today, you don't know what it's like to grow up out in the middle of nowhere and have dirt to eat. But we all did it. Usually it came from my sandbox when I was playing in the sandbox and my hands were full of sand. And I did something with my mouth and then I had to spit out a little bit of sand. Having played a little football, I knew what it was like to eat dirt too. And also baseball, you slide into home plate, and the catcher's trying to tag you out, and it's dusty all of a sudden. What do you suppose gets in your face? And in your mouth, of course, we know what it is. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. Nothing common or anything that is ceremonially impure or from an unclean animal hath at any time, has at no time or has never entered. And into my mouth suggests into my mouth in the process of eating it. Hath entered has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Well, now in verse 9, Peter is rebuked by the voice from heaven which stated that Peter should not call something common which God hath cleansed. "But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to Peter's objection about killing and eating the animals in verse 8. The voice answered me again from heaven, where me is Peter, is a voice answered me the second time from heaven. The voice is in heaven, coming from heaven. That's significant. Again, meaning the second time, suggests that it was the same voice which had spoken to Peter in verse 7, saying, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." From heaven is out of heaven. And it indicates the source of this voice. The voice said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." What is plural in the Greek text? And it's understood in the sense of what things. God hath cleansed is simply God cleansed, or God made clean, or God declared clean. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. God declared it clean, therefore it is clean and remains clean. The before God in the Greek text is used in order to identify him as God the Father, the God of the Bible, the only God there is. As indicated by the italics, that has been supplied by the translators in reference to what things God has declared clean. Call not thou common, where thou is used, is you singular, is used in reference to Peter and is emphatic. It is you stop calling common. Call not common is a present imperative or command with a negative, which forbids the continuation of an action which is already going on. So it's understood in the sense of stop or do not continue calling uncommon, considering or declaring something to be ritually unclean. Verse 10 indicates that before the sheet containing all the unclean animals was drawn up again into heaven, what occurred in verses 7 through 9 was repeated two additional times. Verse 10 says, "And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven." And this was done three times indicates, one, that Peter was told three times to rise, to slay and to eat. Two, that three times he responded with, "Not so, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth." And three, that three times Peter was told that he was not to refer to the things God had declared clean as being unclean. Peter wasn't about to do what he was told to do, but he ended up doing it. All right? And all were drawn up again into heaven. And all suggested all things or everything, and it's referring to the large linen cloth and the animals it held. We're drawn up again into heaven as we're pulled up again into heaven. Just as soon as the vision which Peter had seen in his trance was finished. He's trying to figure out what it means. And as it finished, the three men Cornelius had sent at the house where Peter was lodging, they arrived. How timely. Have you not noticed that God is always right on time? He's never late. He's never early. He's never tardy. He's never absent. Always right on time. Behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And behold is used to gain the hearer's attention. Immediately is at once. There were three men already come unto the house where I was, as three men came before, approached, or stood by the house in which I was lodging. Men is the term for adult males. Already suggests at once or immediately they arrived at that moment. sent from Caesarea unto me. Now, Caesarea was 30 miles away. They had been sent somewhere around 4 o'clock the previous afternoon. They had to stay overnight somewhere. They didn't have any alarm clocks or anything like that. And they were probably walking the 30 miles. And no matter how many times they stopped to get a drink of water or stopped to rest, they got there at exactly the time of God's choosing. Amazing. The tense of sent indicates action completed in past time whose result has continued to the present. And it indicates a state of being. They were in a state of having been sent from Caesarea to Peter. According to verse 12, the Holy Spirit instructed Peter that without any hesitation, he was to accompany these men that Cornelius had sent back to Cornelius' home. Furthermore, the six Jewish brothers who had accompanied Peter to Caesarea and had also entered Cornelius' home along with Peter, they just happened to be in this meeting in Jerusalem with Peter and with those taking issue with Peter. And the Spirit bade me go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, bade me to go with them. The Spirit said to me to go with them, which indicates that Peter had not taken it upon himself to go with these Gentiles to a Gentile's home. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, bade me, is said to me or told me, go with them, is to accompany them or to travel together with them. Doubting is used in conjunction with go, indicating manner or time. It has been translated as indicating manner, indicating how he was to be going with these men, all of whom were Gentiles, whom he had never previously met. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while doubting or while hesitating. Doubting nothing. It may mean in no thing, indicating what he was to doubt. That's the way it's been translated. Or it may mean in no way or not at all, describing doubting. Nothing has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally nothing doubting, or doubting in no way. And this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. Moreover, continues the thought in the sense of and. The six brethren, these six brothers, it's referring to the six Jewish men who went with Peter from Joppa to Caesarea. They were apparently with Peter at this time in this meeting in Jerusalem. These six brethren accompanied me, refers to Peter. It's came or traveled with or together with me, and we entered into the man's house, indicates that Peter, as well as the six Jewish men, all entered Cornelius' home. Verses 13 and 14 rehearse what Cornelius told Peter regarding why he had sent for him. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he showed us where he is Cornelius, and us as Peter and the six Jews who had accompanied him to Caesarea. He reported to us, he announced to us, or he told us. And what Cornelius told Peter and the others is that an angel had appeared to him in his house, and what the angel had told him to do. How he had seen an angel in his house is how he saw the angel in his house. Had seen has been translated in a way which shows that its action occurred before the action of said. So he saw the angel, which stood. He was standing there. And then the angel spoke and said unto him, he is standing and saying to him. The tense of send men to Joppa indicates that Cornelius was to undertake this action at once and without delay, which he did. The word translated send is the word from which the term apostle is derived. It implies that they were being sent on a mission, and it was a mission. Go bring Peter back here. Men is the term for adult males. It's plural, but no number is specified. Cornelius chose to send three. To Joppa is specified because Peter was staying in Joppa. And if you'll recall in chapter 10, the men were told that, or Cornelius was told they're lodged in a house with a man by the name of Simon, which is by the seaside, by the Mediterranean Sea. And call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and send for or summon Simon, the one called Peter. And verse 14 indicates that Peter would explain how Cornelius and those in his household will be saved. Not might be saved, but will be saved. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Who refers to Peter and thee is to you and refers to Cornelius? Who shall tell thee words is who shall utter or speak words to you whereby or by which thou, you, and all thy house, all your household or family shall be saved, will be saved. Thou, you singular. It's emphatic and refers to Cornelius. And thy is your singular and refers to Cornelius. It's your singular. And where all thy house refers to Cornelius' entire household or family, you and all your house will be saved. Shall be saved is predictive of something which will definitely happen in the future. It is will be saved, and it indicates that until this time, Cornelius and his house were not yet saved. It is reminiscent of Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, meaning your household. Although it is not specifically stated, it is implied that the Gentiles in Cornelius' home, including Cornelius, believed the message Peter proclaimed to them, placed their trust in Jesus as their Savior, and were genuinely saved. Their salvation is evidenced by the fact that they received the Holy Spirit in the next verse. And verse 15 records Christ baptizing the believing Gentiles in Cornelius' home with the Holy Spirit, just as he, meaning just as Christ, had done with the Jewish believers on the day of Pentecost. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. When I began to speak, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit, the Holy One, fell upon them, where them refers to Cornelius and those in his household who trusted Christ as Savior. It's came upon them. Fell has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, fell the Spirit, the Holy One, on them as on us at the beginning, just as or like he came on or he fell on us in the beginning. He came or he fell must be supplied in the mind of the reader. Us refers to Peter and those with him in the upper room in Acts 2. At the beginning refers to the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 when Christ baptized the Jewish believers with the Holy Spirit.
This experience of the household of Cornelius having the Holy Spirit fall on them following their salvation is a repeat of what happened to believing Jews on the day of Pentecost, except this time it was Gentiles whom Christ baptized with the Holy Spirit rather than Jews. Remember, Acts is a transition book. All the people in the upper room in Acts 2 were saved people, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Some time had elapsed from the time that they believed that Jesus was the Messiah until the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them. In Samaria, people were saved in Acts 8. And then Peter and John were dispatched to Samaria to put their hands on these people, and they then received the Holy Spirit. But a time had elapsed from the time of their salvation until they received the Holy Spirit. That was the end of the time in between. Here it's instantaneous. And when you got saved, you likewise instantaneously received God the Holy Spirit in your life. Times changed. The transition is getting more and more complete. Verse 16 reveals that what Christ had said to the apostles on the day he ascended to heaven in Acts 1:5 was brought to Peter's mind. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he had said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then transitions to what happened next. Remembered I the word of the Lord, where I is Peter and where the Lord is Christ is. I remembered the word of the Lord. Word suggests to a spoken word, and how that he said where he is the Lord is how he was saying. The tense of said indicates ongoing action in past time, and what the Lord was saying is, John indeed baptized with water, but ye, you 12 apostles, and there were only 11 because Judas had hanged himself already, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. John, of course, was John the Baptist. Indeed, sets up a contrast between what John had done and what Jesus was going to do. It means on the one hand, in contrast to but, which is understood in the sense of but on the other hand, baptized is immersed, and with water speaks of a physical immersion or baptism in water, which John performed. Ye, as you plural, and is emphatic, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, is will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit. And it's predictive of something which will definitely occur in the future. This baptism is a spiritual baptism in the Holy Spirit performed by Christ, which took place 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. Now, according to verse 17, Peter recognized that Christ's baptizing these Gentile converts in Cornelius' home in the Holy Spirit was of God, and that to have resisted it would have been resisting what God was doing. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? For as much as is the word ordinarily translated if, it introduces a condition which, for sake of discussion, is assumed to be true. And it is true. So it's understood in the sense of because God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. Since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that God gave them, meaning the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us, then draws an inference. It's understood in the sense of therefore, accordingly, or consequently. God is God the Father, gave them the like gift, where them refers to Cornelius and those of his household who had just been saved, is gave them the same gift as he did unto us, is as also to us, where us refers to the apostles and others on the day of Pentecost. As indicated by the italics, he did has been supplied from the context by the translators in reference to God the Father. The gift Cornelius and those of his household were given is the indwelling Holy Spirit. You received the indwelling Holy Spirit on the instant of your salvation. What did it feel like for you? Nothing. It's a non-experiential matter. He came to dwell in you, and you might have been all excited about salvation, but that's all that you really felt at that time. What was I? Indeed, who was I? At Cornelius' home, God gave the same gift to the Gentiles immediately following their salvation. What was I that I could withstand God, that I was able to hinder God? Peter wasn't going to get in the way. There's nothing he could have done about it anyway. According to verse 18, the group taking issue with Peter was silenced, admitting that God had granted salvation to the Gentiles. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." When they heard is used in conjunction with held their peace. It may indicate time or cause. Its action occurred before the action of held their peace, and it's been translated as showing time. And it's understood in the sense of after they heard. But if it's showing cause, it would be understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that they heard. They is referring to the apostles and brethren that were in Judea in verse 1 of this chapter. These things refers to the report Peter delivered regarding the salvation of Cornelius and those of his household. They held their peace as they were silent. They remained silent, or they were quiet. And connects, they held their peace with glorified God, suggests they praised God or honored God, meaning God the Father. Saying is used in conjunction with glorified, indicating a fact in addition to glorified. It's understood in the sense of and were saying. Its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of glorified. And what they were saying is, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Then is so, or consequently. Hath God also granted, as God also gave, or God also has given. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. To the Gentiles indicates the group to whom God has given repentance unto life. And repentance speaks of a change of heart or a turning from one's sins. The appears before repentance in the Greek text to indicate that it is the particular repentance unto life, meaning eternal life, rather than some other change of mind. It's the repentance that results in eternal life, a change of mind to trusting Jesus as Savior because of his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. It's a repentance that results in eternal life. To the Gentiles, repentance have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, "Then also to the Gentiles God repentance gave unto life." Peter had opened the doors or the gates of salvation to the Gentiles. Although taken to task for something he had done, Peter met the situation forthrightly and honestly. We must likewise always deal forthrightly and honestly with whatever situations or questions arise. And we must also let God deal with the results, which is what he did. The Jewish people there had apparently accepted the explanation, and they kept quiet, stopped talking against Peter in that way. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have in coming and studying thy word together. Help us to understand it, to understand its meaning, to apply its truths to our hearts and minds. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.